This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. فحملته فانتبذت به مكانا قصيا فأجاء أهل المخاض إلى جذع النخلة قالت يا ليتني مت قبل هذا وكنت نسيا منسيا فناداها من تحتها ألا تحزني قد جعل ربك تحتك سريا وهزي إليك بجذع النخلة تساقط عليك رطبا جنيا فكلي واشربي وقري عينا فإما ترين من البشر أحدا فقولي إني نذرت للرحمن صوما فلن أكلم اليوم إنسيا فأتت به قومها تحمله قالوا يا مريم لقد جئت شيئا فريا
واذكر في الكتاب مريم إذ انتبذت من أهلها مكانا شرقيا
إنما يسرناه بلسانك لتبشر به المتقين وتنذر به قوما لدا
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله الحمد لله حمدا يوافي نعمه ويكافئ مزيده وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما يا كريم ربي شرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربي زدني علما ربي زدني علما ربي زدني علما اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا Welcome all to another episode of Embracing Quran. We're discussing the tafsir of Surah Maryam. And we left off at Ayah number 24. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَنَادَاهَا مِنْ تَحْتِهَا أَلَّا تَحْزَنِي قَدْ جَعَلَ رَبُّكِ تَحْتَكِ سَرِيَّا But before we get into Ayah number 24, let's do a small recap. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us the story of Maryam alayhi salam. In the beginning, actually, He told us the story of Zakariya alayhi salam and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him Yahya alayhi salam. And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us of the story of Maryam alayhi salam. And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted Maryam alayhi salam, He has granted her child that came from a miraculous birth, and that is Isa alayhi salam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, because of the difficulty and the throes of pregnancy, she ended up being compelled to go to jidh an nakhla. She ended up being compelled to go to a tree, okay, a nakhla tree, a palm tree. And she ended up having to hold fast to the trunk of this tree, and she gave birth. And at that moment of birth, she started expressing the difficulty and the agony because of the convulsion of the pain that was occurring. She explained that by saying, I wished I had died. قَالَتْ يَا لَيْتَنِي مِتُّ قَبْلَ هَذَا I wished I had died before this. وَكُنْتُ نَسْيًا مَنْسِيًا And I also wished that nobody knew me. I also wished that I was just forgotten and nobody would ever think about me again, okay? But as we said, there's two possibilities. She could have been saying this because she was afraid of what she would hear from her people if they knew that she had a child without actually being in wedlock, okay? But we know that she was pure. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us of that. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues and tells us something else very beautifully unique. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, فَنَادَاهَا مِنْ تَحْتِهَا Then that child that was below her, now she's already embracing to the tree and she's already had the child. Suddenly below her is this child, فَنَادَاهَا مِنْ تَحْتِهَا The child starts calling out to Maryam alayhi salam. Remember, we said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, وَلِنَجْعَلَهُ آيَةً لِلنَّاسِ So that we may make this particular child that will come, you know, that Maryam alayhi salam will bear, we'll make this child to be what? We'll make him a sign. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just did that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Isa alayhi salam a sign. In fact, as soon as he was born, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, فَنَادَاهَا Immediately, the child starts calling her. And that, what happens when she hears a child, that starts bringing her a lot of, you know, console. She starts being consoled by hearing this child, because this child, he appears to be miraculous. A, she got the child without having been married before, without being touched by a man before, and now the child is below her, and he's literally speaking to her, and he's addressing her. فَنَادَهَا مِن تَحْتِهَا. And he starts telling her, أَلَّا تَحْزَنِي, that don't have any huzn, don't have any grief. You don't need to worry about that. Don't be worried, don't be sad. لَا تَحْزَنِي. أَلَّا تَحْزَنِي. قَدْ جَعَلَ رَبُّكِ تَحْتَكِ سَرِيَّا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has now made below you a sariya, a small river that's going to flow below you, okay? At that moment, there's a couple of things that women need, right? You need to, you're dehydrated because of all the water that was coming out, the water breaks and the child comes out and now the blood starts to come out and all sorts of, you know, things are happening to the body of the woman. At that moment, she needs water. She needs some specific types of foods that will help her increase the milk and that will help her sort of rejuvenate her body. And we know that through experience, and we know through medicine as well, that one of the things that really does help at that moment is water, okay, drinking a lot of water. And also another thing that really helps at that moment is what? Is eating dates. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided for Maryam alayhi salam just that, and to give a glad tiding came a child who was speaking to her from below, as he was below, the between the legs below Maryam alayhi salam, right? Now this is one tafsir. Some of the scholars, they said no. In fact, Jibreel alayhi salam was the one that was receiving the child. He was almost like the qabil. He was almost like the midwife. And he was receiving the child. And he was the one speaking to Maryam alayhi salam. Allahu a'lam. But they're both of these tafsirs are there. أَلَّا تَحْزَنِي قَدْ جَعَلَ رَبُّكِ تَحْتَكِ سَرِيَّا وَهُزِّي إِلَيْكِ بِجِذْعِ النَّخْلَةِ. By the way, I do lean towards the fact that it was Isa alayhi salam speaking, because at least it would be more miraculous, right? And we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immediately said, وَلِنَجْعَلَهُ آيَةً لِلنَّاسِ, right? And we also know that women generally have a tendency of not being around men, right? And Jibreel alayhi salam, he had essentially, when he had come to Maryam alayhi salam, immediately she said what? إِنِّي أَعُوذُ بِالرَّحْمَانِ مِنْكَ إِن كُنْتَ تَقِيَّا. I am seeking refuge in the Rahman, in the Most Merciful, from you if you happen to be someone who's pious. So if he's going to come back to her, and also in the same form of a man, that wouldn't be something that she would be too welcoming of, right? So that's the reason why I think that, wallahu a'lam, it's probably Isa alayhi salam that spoke. وَهُزِّي إِلَيْكِ بِجِذْعِ النَّخْلَةِ وَهُزِّي إِلَيْكِ بِجِذْعِ النَّخْلَةِ. And also start to shake this tree. You're sitting behind a tree, shake this tree. That all of these things are really miraculous here. A, she had this miraculous child. B, the child spoke to her. C, now she's being told to shake a tree in winter time, where the tree does not have leaves even, right? This is a palm tree, but the dates, there are no dates. The leaves of the palm are not there, right? So this is basically a barren tree. You would imagine that it's just a trunk by itself, right? And some of the tafsir have it that this occurred in Egypt, and this occurred, you know, in this particular region. But the ulama, they said that that's not necessarily true. There is a tree over here in Egypt that is said to be the tree of Maryam alayhi salam. But nonetheless, the ulama, such as some of the mufassirin, they said that this is not necessarily authentically proven that it occurred over here. So Allahu a'lam. But she was asked to shake the tree. وَهُزِّي إِلَيْكِ بِجِذْعِ النَّخْلَةِ تساقط عليك رطبا جنيا. So when you shake this tree, it will start to bring to you رطبا جنيا. It will start to bring to you moist dates. You see, dates go through different stages. As they're really early, they start to fruit. They're called a certain name. They're called busr. As they grow, they then start to call a rutab. Then as they grow further, they call the tamar, and so on and so forth. And they say tamar is a state of perfection for dates, because thereafter the state of date then starts to go towards corruption. وَلِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ إِذَا مَا تَمَّ نُقَصَانُ. Whenever anything becomes perfected, it starts to become defective, right? So the fuqaha, and there's ahkam, there's rulings of fiqh based on this as well, they say that the perfect state of a date is when it's a tamar. Before that, it's more favorable, it's more fruity, it's more tasty when it's rutab, but that hasn't reached the state of perfection yet, right? But nonetheless, this is a very tasty date to eat, al-rutab. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided her just that, al-rutab. تُسَاقِطْ عَلَيْكِ رُطَبًا جَنِيًّا. janiya, a very, very, you know, that you've just taken from the tree very recently. Fakuli washrabi. Fakuli washrabi. Eat and drink. Eat and drink. Maryam alayhi salam is now being told to eat and drink. Waqarri aina. And also, qarri aina. And also, feel the coolness of your eyes, okay? From the fact that you've had this child. After, you know, childbirth is miraculous on its own. That's the reality. We're talking about a miraculous childbirth that's occurring over here where there is no father, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down a child who's literally talking to his mother whilst he's still a baby, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends a woman to an area which is in the winter time with a tree which is barren, and suddenly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows the tree to have, you know, dates on it, allows the tree to have leaves on it as well. Even furthermore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even grants this woman asariyya, also water that flows, right? All of these things. These are all miraculous things. But I say that childbirth on its own is miraculous. You know, if you haven't seen, and if you aren't a father, and if you are a father, and you haven't seen the childbirth of one of your children, I recommend that next time your wife is giving birth, then you go ahead and watch it. Because that's a process that is really therapeutical. It develops love. I know a lot of men don't want to do that, but I would encourage that you do it, because this really is a practice that helps and brings a lot of love. Because you see the agony, the throes, the difficulty that the woman is going through, and literally weeping to tears and saying things that she doesn't even know what she's saying at those moments, right? It's literally the greatest pain that human beings know. And then suddenly, from that particular difficulty, from that particular agony, from those throes, from the convulsions, from the contractions and all these sort of things, suddenly the child comes out and the mother picks up the child, embraces this child, and just falls in love with the child. That is unbelievably miraculous if you've seen it. And the reality is that it also develops a special type of love between a husband and a wife, because you see that the type of sacrifice, you know, a lot of the things that come with pregnancy, such as the woman gets a little bit fat and so on and so forth, and perhaps even some, you know, stretch marks, etc. People look down upon that. But in reality, that is a sacrifice of a mother that only the mothers know, and only those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants them the love to recognize what our mothers have done for us know as well. And that's why a poet used to say, أُمُّ مَدْرَسَةٌ إِذَا أَعْدَدْتَهَا أَعْدَدْتَ شَعْبًا طَيِّبًا الْأَعْرَاقِ. That the mother is a school all by herself. If you prepare this school, then you're going to be preparing an entire society of good people, because the mother is literally the root of the rest of the society. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the tawfiq to practice, to convey, and to respect our mothers. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.
Kitabun anzalnahu ilayka mubarakun liyadabbaru ayatihi wa liyatadhakkar ulul albab. كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ مُبَارَكٌ لِّيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ وَلِيَتَذَكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. الحمد لله حمدا يوافي نعمه ويكافئ مزيده. صلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما يا كريم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. رب زدني علما. رب زدني علما. رب زدني علما. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. Welcome back to the second part of this episode, dear viewers, as we discuss the story in the surah of Maryam alayhi salam. We left off at ayah number 25, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Maryam alayhi salam, وهزي إليك بجذع نخلة تساقط عليك رطبا جنيا. And shake the trunk of the tree. Now that in and of itself is quite something there, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Maryam alayhi salam to shake the trunk of a date palm tree, right? And we know just shaking the trunk of a date palm doesn't do you any good, because it's very, very, you know, well grounded. It's actually, in fact, trees, from the trees, they say olive trees and the date palm trees are some of the most well grounded and well rooted trees in the world, right? You can have perhaps even a hurricane, and some of the date palms, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will continue to have them within the ground, that they're really powerful trees. But even then, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has this woman who's just given birth to go and shake the tree, and suddenly dates start to fall on top of her. Tusaqit, they literally start to fall and shower upon her. Rutab and janiya, dates which are rutab, the moist version of dates. Fakuli washrabi, and now eat and drink. Kuli from what? The dates that you've been given, eat from those dates. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted her the fruit of dates. Washrabi, there's a sariya right before you, there's a river that's flowing right before you, right below you, then go ahead and drink from that as well. وَقَرِّي عَيْنَا, and allow your eyes to become cool as well. So this mother, she has just given birth, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed her to have something to drink, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed her to eat something, and at the same time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave her her child who is right before her, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now telling her, وَقَرِّي عَيْنَا, and allow that child to be the coolness of your eyes. وَقَرِّي عَيْنَا, and recognize the fact that people may accuse you, but I will ensure that that accusation doesn't go wasted, and I will ensure that you, your honor and chastity is protected. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals the Qur'an down, and he, in the Qur'an, he's protecting the chastity and the honor of Maryam alayhi salam. So قَرِّي عَيْنَا, you Maryam, you can go ahead and have the, you know, have your eyes cool. Basically, allow your eyes to be cool, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ensure that your chastity is protected and your honor is protected as well. Qurratul Ayn literally means the coolness of the eyes. And the Arabs have two different metaphors. They say Sukhnatul Ayn, and then they say Qurratul Ayn. Sukhnatul Ayn, which basically means the heat of the eyes, right? And if a person, you know, if you've ever cried out of happiness, you'll realize that the tears that come when you're happy, they're not actually that hot, okay? This is something experiential as well, when you're just happy. But when you're sad, the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the body, literally the tears actually have a warmth to them as well, right? And you, your body actually starts to go towards the warmth in terms of temperature. So there's the qurratul ayn, there's the tears that come out of the eye when you are happy, the tears of joy they call it, and then there's the sukhnatul ayn, those are the tears that come out of the eye when a person is sad and they're hot and they're sort of warm. وَقَرِّي عَيْنَا فَإِمَّا تَرَيِنَّ مِنَ الْبَشَرِ أَحَدًا. So if you were to see from the human beings anyone, okay, if you end up seeing someone over here from amongst your tribe, your people, so on and so forth, فَقُولِي, then say to them, إِنِّي نَذَرْتُ لِلرَّحْمَنِ صَوْمًا, I have vowed for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a sawm. Okay? I have vowed that I will be fasting, but not from food. Because historically their fast was a fast of speech. If you notice over here also in the story of Zakariya alayhi salam, right? We had a similar incident where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Zakariya alayhi salam what? قَالَ آيَتُكَ أَلَّا تُكَلِّمَ النَّاسَ ثَلَاثَ لَيَالٍ سَوِيَّ, that your sign is that you won't get to speak for 3 nights and 3 days, illa ramzan, except if it happens to be a pointer, or except it happens to be a gesture that you're using to get your message across to anybody, right? So in that story, there's a child being born, and in that story, there's also no speech for 3 days, and in this story, there's a child being born, miraculously so, and over there also miraculously so, considering the norms of physics, yes, miraculously so. And in this case as well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has Maryam alayhi salam stops speaking. And similarly, Zakariya alayhi salam is also told that this is your sign, you have to stop speaking, you won't be able to speak, except if you're doing dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inni nadhartu lirrahmani sawman, I have vowed for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a sawm, that I'm not going to speak. فَلَنْ أُكَلِّمَ الْيَوْمَ إِنْسِيَا, so I am not going to speak to anyone. This is what Allah is telling Maryam alayhi salam, that if, Jibreel alayhi salam is delivering, that if you see someone from your family, from your tribe, from your people, from any human beings, period, min al-bashar, ahad, and anyone, right? Then say to them that I am fasting, meaning I'm not going to be speaking, that's their fast. فَلَنْ أُكَلِّمَ الْيَوْمَ إِنْسِيَا I'm not going to speak to anyone today. You know, this is a test for Maryam alayhi salam, a very, very great test. And that is that she just has a child, you know. She's just had a child. And as she has been granted this child, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells her to stay quiet, right? You know, people that have children, they all want to go and share the fact that they had a child. Now, of course, Maryam alayhi salam is not necessarily, you know, focused on sharing, but there's another very important pointer, and that is that people are going to ask her, well, when did you get married? When did you have a child? What happened? Like, so on and so forth, and all sorts of questions. And especially because she is of a religious background, in a sense that she used to seclude herself to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those people who go towards religion and then suddenly they do something wrong, people actually mock them more than regular people. Isn't that so? Someone is doing something religious and then they're seen in a mall or they're seen somewhere else doing something haram, something impermissible. May Allah protect you and I and all of us. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. But when someone who is apparently religious, has a beard, wears a thobe, has a hijab, wears a niqab, so on and so forth, right? They are seen doing something that is wrong, people end up accusing them even further and more so than if it were to be a person who is not like that. Maryam alayhi salam is known to her society. Remember she was saying, وَكُنْتُ نَسِيًا مَنْسِيًا And I wish that I was someone that wasn't known to people, meaning the opposite understanding of that is that she's known to people. So she is now being told that when people come and talk to you, you have to stay silent. You don't need to talk at that moment, right? You don't need to be talking at that moment. فَلَنْ أُكَلِّمَ الْيَوْمَ إِنْسِيًا So that is a great test for Maryam alayhi salam. فَأَتَتْ بِهِ قَوْمَهَا تَحْمِلُهُ So then she brought the child to her people. She wasn't speaking. She brought the child to her people. قَالُوا يَا مَرْيَمُ قَالُوا يَا مَرْيَمُ They said, Oh Maryam alayhi salam, لَقَدْ جِئْتِ شَيْئًا فَرِيًّا You have done something very, very nasty. You've done something which is filthy. You've done something فَرِيًّا You've done something that we didn't imagine that you would be doing, right? As I said, someone who happens to be a person of piety. And you know what? We have to get beyond this. That's the reality. I'm mentioning this, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning these stories, not so we just take, you know, it's a story, we just look through the story and then, yeah, flip the pages of the Qur'an and that's the end of that. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions these stories within the Qur'an, so we take a heed from them. This is a common theme within society. Someone religious, why is he doing that? Someone not, may Allah guide him. Right? That's not the way to do it. Because apparently being religious is not necessarily a sign of religiosity internally. That's one thing. Number two, no matter how religious you are, recognize the fact that there's going to be, or how religious X person X is, recognize the fact that there could be a fall. لِكُلِّ جَوَادٍ كَبْوَى as they say. And وَلِكُلِّ عَالِمٍ زَلَّ That every single person who is a jawad, every single person who every single horse who happens to be extremely well trained, he's going to fall one day or another. And similarly, every single person who's a scholar, he will one day or another make a mistake. That's just a reality. And that's why even within the story earlier on, what is Maryam alayhi salam saying? Maryam alayhi salam is saying that I am a'udhu bil-Rahman. I am seeking refuge in the Rahman, in the most merciful from you. And she doesn't know it's Jibreel before her, but she's saying, I'm seeking refuge in the Rahman from you in kunta taqiyya, if you happen to be a pious person, right? So she realized that even if he's pious, a man and woman by themselves in one place, they can make a mistake. No matter how pious the person is, they can make a mistake. So that's a reality. So us as a society, we have to start moving on from this particular, you know, idea or this particular behavior of almost, you know, if the person is religious, he makes a mistake, then let's try to make it look bigger, right? If a person is not so much, well, whatever, he doesn't really show himself that to be. Or for example, if a person happens to have a beard and he's doing something wrong, or if her sister happens to have a hijab and she's doing something wrong, then make a bigger deal out of it, as opposed to if a person is not wearing the hijab, or a person is not necessarily wearing the beard perhaps, like keeping a beard and so forth, right? That's not a proper attitude, and we have to move away from that within our societies. And I say this why? I say this because those are two different things, okay? Those are two different things. That you have a person wearing a hijab, a woman wearing a hijab, and that hijab that the woman wears is a ibadah, is an act of worship she's doing. The beard that the person keeps is an ibadah, it's an act of worship that the person is doing as well, right? If they end up committing a sin, that sin is from another angle. So the mistake is not this one. Meaning we can't say because you made this mistake or because you did this good, you can't make this mistake. No. People make mistakes, and Allah's Messenger ﷺ said that kullu bani Adam khata' wa khayrul khata'in at-tawwabun, that every single child of Adam makes mistakes, and the best of those who make mistakes are the ones who turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qalu ya Maryam, they said, oh Maryam, you did something wrong. So how did she reply, and what happened next? Please join us in the next episode as we continue to discuss the story of Maryam alayhi salam from the surah of Maryam alayhi salam. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wadhkur fil kitabi Maryama idh intabadhat min ahliha makanan sharqiyya.
Huzzi ilayki bijidh'in nakhlati tusaqit alayki rutaban janiyya.
Fa innama yassarnahu bilisanika litubashshira bi المتقين وتنذر به قوما لُدًّا.